It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The next time you go to your local hospital or to the doctor's office, there is a good chance your healthcare provider will use artificial intelligence in some form. A recent survey from the American Medical Association found that over 80% of physicians now use AI in their practice. That rate more than doubled since their 2023 previous survey. The most common uses reported are for note-taking and summarizing medical research, but some physicians use it to assist with diagnosing test results or drafting messages to patients. We're checking in on how Wisconsin healthcare companies are using AI and what potential benefits and concerns come with the technology in this setting. Dr. Brooke Crotty is an internal medicine physician and interim president for Inception Health, the innovation arm of Froedtert Theta Care. Dr. Crotty talked with Rob Ferret last month.
Now, that phrase AI covers a lot of ground. It can mean a lot of different things. What are some examples of ways that you're using different kinds of AI at Froedtert and Inception Health?
Well, I think about AI as sort of the opportunity in the best sense to really help patients and their families get the right care at the right time. And that does mean in support by the right clinicians as well. AI has been used both within the walls of our hospitals as well as in our remote patient monitoring that we're doing, where we're able to reach into people's homes and connect with them and care for them in ways that we otherwise have not been able to do. But you also see AI being increasingly used directly by patients and families to answer health questions, for example.
Well, let's take that into the doctor's office now. Say I'm there for an appointment. I'm meeting with that clinician. What, as a patient, might I see AI doing in that environment?
The most common thing that you will be seeing inside the clinician's office is ambient scribe technology, basically a fancy term for AI note-taking. You'll often notice that clinicians are focused on screens and the keyboard, and the new AI scribes are able to be unobtrusive, invisible in the exam room, and to take notes and help provide the clinician with a summary of the medical encounter. So what you'll notice there is that the clinician may be looking at you, maybe being more attentive to you and less focused on getting everything down into the documents, into the notes on the keyboard. And what we're seeing now is we're maturing more where we can use the technology more invisibly in the background.
And you mentioned patients might interface directly or family members might interface directly with some sort of AI agent or something to do what? What would I be interacting with to try to get information directly in that situation?
So hospital and health systems are increasingly using AI agents to help connect with patients between visits. It could be before a procedure or it could be after a hospitalization. For example, as a patient, you may be called by an AI agent who's there to check in on you, ask questions, make sure that you're recovering or doing well according to your care plan. And if anything seems out of ordinary or off track, they can then route that to a human care team member who can then pick up the connection and the phone call. We're seeing this often used now to calling to outreach for tests that you may be due for, but maybe just haven't been scheduled yet, like colorectal cancer screening is a really good example.
One concern people have had, especially in the healthcare field, is that, hey, we see AI hallucinate is the phrase, add something that wasn't there to begin with. How do you watch for that? How do you make sure that isn't interfering with the patient experience?
I think we have to be aware that these are tools and they're not perfect. And this is, I think, even more particularly important when AI is being used without the guidance of a professional caregiver, such as a doctor or a nurse. So in these cases, the two issues that I worry about, one is hallucination, kind of pulling the wrong information, but another is AI syncopancy. So basically agreeing or aligning with someone when they really should be pushing back. And that can lead people down the wrong path. Sometimes as doctors, we do have to talk with people about things that they do not want to hear or they're not prepared to hear. And that sometimes can be tricky. Newer versions are getting better, but they are not perfect. Even the best tests, these achieve an accuracy rate anywhere from 70 to 90%, which means about one in three could really be off. In a recent study that was published that was looking at problematic responses from some of the commercially available chat tools, anywhere from between 22 to 43% of responses were in some way, shape, or form problematic, and 5 to 13% were deemed unsafe by the researchers.
So the goal here, it sounds like, is not we're going to replace our clinicians with AI agents. We're going to put these tools in their hands. Is that, am I summing that up about right?
I think that we're going to co-evolve with AI over the next, you know, decade or so, where AI is part of the care team and part of the care process. But it is just that it's part of a broader process. It's not a standalone service. Some of the things that we do worry about, though, in the state of Wisconsin, for example, we're expected to lose 40% of our primary care physicians to leave the workforce, mostly due to retirement over the next decade. And as we have shortages in clinician availability, I do see where AI will serve important roles. We also are seeing some interesting information where a majority of health-related queries are happening outside of clinician hours. So people are asking health-related questions outside of where doctors are traditionally in the office and available. So I think what this is telling us is that there's going to be sort of a broader imagination of the healthcare experience, but where I would like to see it is that it is part and parcel of a broader healthcare plan.
People have, I think, privacy concerns about AI coming into the healthcare setting. We know our conversations with our physician are confidential. By law, the electronic health software systems you mentioned, well, there are regulations about what they do with information. If the architecture, right, the infrastructure of this AI is from an outside company, how does that all fit in? What can they, what can't they do with that information?
For patients and families using AI tools directly, they are going to be subject to the terms and conditions and privacy policies of those tools. It's important to read carefully in the tools page, web pages about how your data are being used for training purposes or quality assurance purposes. I have an assumption that anything that a person puts into a computer may be read by another person, and it may not be used or disclosed publicly, but things that someone may not feel very comfortable having another human being know, it is not appropriate to also put that into a chat agent. On the other hand, privacy is interesting. And when we've worked with patients and we've looked at this, people who are ill or have family members who are ill prioritize getting the right answer for them or their loved one over privacy. Of course, we want the best of both. But what I mean by this is to say that I think we will see some people turning and looking for an answer and sacrificing privacy. It shouldn't be the case that one has to sacrifice it, but that could be something that we see happening. For systems that are connected to healthcare organizations that are covered under state privacy as well as federal privacy laws, patients can expect limited use of protected health information.
So I want to make very clear, the first example you were giving was if I went online and asked ChatGPT or whatever about a health condition, I probably have little expectation of privacy. That transcription AI in my doctor's office, that is more protected. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. That is correct.
And as we wrap up, Dr. Crotty, what is on the immediate horizon for you in this fast developing technology?
You know, if I had a magic wand to use AI, what it would do is it would keep everybody on track and safe as they navigate the healthcare environment. Patients and families who are challenged by the current healthcare landscape across this country, they're turning to AI to help solve their problems. They're using it for health insurance navigation. They're using them to get second opinions, and or they're using them to set expectations around a particular diagnosis or treatment. And I think the goal of any healthcare information technology is that it improves the health of the people in our population, and it keeps them safe. And that's really, I think, the maturing of those two areas are, I think, the highlights of what we're going to see over the next couple of years.
Dr. Crotty, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Brooke Crotty is an internal medicine physician and interim president for Inception Health, the innovation arm of Friedrich Theta Care. She joined us to share how her organization is using artificial intelligence in healthcare. Now we're turning to some of the potential concerns that come with AI in the healthcare setting and what providers can do to protect patients. Lou He is assistant professor of healthcare informatics at UW-Milwaukee. Lou, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we just heard an example, a lot of AI use in healthcare settings. From your vantage point as a researcher, how common is the use of various kinds of AI in our healthcare?
I would say it's very common, even though my research focus is really on patients' uses, but I've attended conferences where people are presenting their findings of whether ambient AI scribes are helping physicians in terms of reducing their documentation time, reducing burnouts, etc. In terms of patient-facing applications, for example, mental health AI applications have been so widely used by patients or just the general public. And I think very recently, Utah had their very first medication scriber powered by AI. So AI has been adopted so fast, faster than what the evidence has suggested.
And I was wondering about that as a researcher, this is happening so quickly. Is the research world who wants to figure out, hey, what works and what doesn't, is it able to keep up?
Personally, I would say no, because in the research world, things move a lot slower because you have to go through rigorous studies, IRB, to ensure the researcher's ethic, and then peer review studies. And also the data that we have for evaluating those AI is also very limited. Oftentimes we rely on benchmark data sets that have limited settings and limited patient populations. But when those AI tools, they go into the wild, they face very diverse patient populations, very different use cases, and all kinds of scenarios may come up that we researchers in the lab settings cannot evaluate. So what researchers can tell about whether those AIs are doing well are all based on very limited data sets that we have access to.
Now, looking at this through the patient's eyes, what are some of the biggest concerns you have about this AI technology out in the wild, as you said, and the ways that people use it? What worries you? What are the biggest unanswered questions?
So, in fact, my student and I recently conducted a study, and we investigated how patients with diabetes or who are in the diagnosis process of diabetes use large language models in the wild. And we found they commonly use large language models for clinical interpretations. That is, they fed their clinical lab results to large language models and say, hey, can you interpret this? I want to get a second opinion besides what my physician tells me. And they also use large language models for nutrition and diet support. So things like make me a diabetes-friendly diet. And also they might give their large language models their self-track data generated from their wearables like Apple Health. So there are so many concerns. For example, the first is definitely, what if those AI make mistakes? Who will be responsible for those errors that may lead to severe consequences? And the second is data privacy issues, because they're clinical lab results, their wearable data can pretty much tell a lot of information about a patient's well-being and overall conditions. And if the third-party commercial companies have those data, what are they going to do with those data? And the lastly is what we have seen is patient education hasn't really kept up with this increasing patient use of large language models. So we really advocate for a shift in patient education, that clinicians and patient educators need to tell patients what are safe large language model use and what are some of the risky use cases.
And so what you're describing there is, hey, I'm an individual healthcare consumer. I'm going online to the chat bot of my choice. Now, how about when doctors' offices, when medical centers are using AI as tools alongside those clinicians? I guess some of this assumes that people have the technology they need to be able to use some of these systems in place. Is that a safe assumption in Wisconsin at this point?
I would say it's definitely not a safe assumption, because oftentimes when we talk about AI use, what we often ignore is the huge technical and human infrastructure that is needed to power the AI uses, such as, do we have enough GPU? Do we have like cloud servers? Do we have the technical expertise to make sure that AI is running smoothly? Even though my research hasn't touched on this, literature has already suggested that hospitals in rural areas, in underserved areas, they're way behind in terms of AI adoption. And another thing is the patients, their own digital health literacy. Is it enough to support their safe use and smooth use of AI tools nowadays?
I know I've done, back in the day, I would do an online search for a symptom. And given the internet is what it is, I'd find a lot of scary information or potentially misleading things. Are you concerned that if people are seeing that same kind of misinformation or misleading information, but it's coming from a source that presents it with authority, as chatbots often do, do you worry that people might be more prone to be convinced, I guess, by these AI services?
Yes, I am very concerned about this. And AI tools are very good at building rapport with people because their commercial goal is to make sure that their users stick with them. So those AI tools, they like to tell people, oh, you're correct, this is absolutely right, so that the users will keep using them. And I think this is a very risky trend, and this behavior shouldn't be supported for medical-facing AI. I think another thing is, for some patients, the AI tools might be one of their very few information sources. While for other patients who are more resourceful, the AI tool is one of their many information sources out of their entire care ecosystem. So there's definitely an equity issue there, because AI can say whatever they say, and some patients may reach out to people they know or clinicians, etc.
You mentioned earlier a patient education. What would you like to see? What would you like everyday people to be educated in to interact with our health system as AI is more and more a part of it?
So the first thing I observe in my own research is patient education, human resource, is very understaffed. In my research, I've seen there might only be one or two asthma educators in the entire community serving about 100 patients, for example. So I think if there are enough patient educators, they should provide adequate knowledge and information and training to patients who are navigating this increasingly complex health system, and also to provide interactive tutorial to show them when AI can be wrong and what are the consequences, and just to know that AI are not always correct, and also where they are being trained, so that patients, they don't just look at the results and say, oh, this probably makes sense, but they know about the mechanisms of how AI responded to their questions.
Lou, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lou Huh is an assistant professor of healthcare informatics at UW-Milwaukee. She talked with host Rob Ferret about her research on the pros and cons of artificial intelligence use in healthcare. Earlier, we heard from Dr. Brooke Crotty, an internal medicine physician and interim president for Inception Health, who shared how AI is being used in Wisconsin at Freighter ThetaCare.